from the Apostle Paul's first recorded sermon, Acts 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. When the Apostle Paul got the opportunity to address the Jews at Pisidian Antioch, he began by simply reviewing very familiar Jewish history. They were probably thinking, we know all this. What's the point? But he got to a point that they did not know. This Messiah has come, has died, and he has risen again. He showed them from their own scriptures that Jesus must be the Messiah, because in his life and death and resurrection, he'd fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures. The first prophecy that he quotes is Isaiah 55. I will give you the sure mercies of David. You remember on the 52nd and 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the sorrowful humiliation of God's servant is described. He is made low to bear the iniquity, the punishment for your sins, for the sins of the world. He dies and is buried, but he is also then raised on high, triumphant. And so in Isaiah 55 we read, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Yes, Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. He suffered, died, and was buried. But he also arose again as the triumphant Messiah. There can be no sure mercies from a dead Messiah. But because he has triumphed over sin and death, God's everlasting covenant of peace and forgiveness is established for you. His sure mercies are for you. The second prophecy Paul quotes is from Psalm 16, also foretelling the death and resurrection of the Messiah. You will not leave my soul in Sheol, meaning death, the grave. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. Even though his dead body was in that grave for 3 days, it did not even begin to decay or decompose. Because he had already conquered death, and God's word cannot fail. In their synagogue, today, in our chapel, the Apostle Paul glorifies God's word. It foretold many hundreds of years in advance the exact details of Christ's death, resurrection, and all of this, it says, is the word of salvation for you. And Paul doesn't wait for them to object, saying, well, you know, our leaders concluded that your Jesus doesn't really measure up. No, he reveals that their leader's rejection was itself a fulfillment of God's word. God came to his own. He dwelt among them. But they did not receive him, to their own doom. And so Paul concludes his message with an urgent appeal. He refers to a time long before when God had come to the Jews with a warning that Babylon itself would devour them and carry them away if they did not turn from their sin to live in repentant faith. Today, Paul concludes, this word, this warning is coming to you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I will work a work in your days which you would by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. Now perhaps you're thinking, but we all know that Jesus died and rose. What's the point? But that is the point. We have the same sinful nature that those Jews had. We can just as easily fall into apathy towards the gospel and allow excuses for living in repentant faith. How many excuses do you harbor in your heart? How much apathy is dwelling in your heart? To you, this word of salvation is revealed with the Holy Spirit's warning. Despise the gospel and perish. But also His invitation. Hear, and your soul shall live. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 1, stanzas 1 and 2.
Solace, light, and grace. Lord.